outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Hero.
Real American Hero.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
When there's lots of hard work to be done, where can you be found? Out back by the loading dock near the dumpster, giving your lazy butt another butt break.
Welcome to Marlboro Country.
That's right, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy. Smoke 'em if you got 'em, and you've always got 'em, and you're always smoking 'em.
Hey, boss, I'll be right.
Snow, rain, freezing cold, or sweltering hot, it doesn't matter to you. You're out there every 10 minutes taking a 9-minute break.
When do you get any work done? Yeah.
So the next time you're at the service counter, unable to get any service because no one's at the counter, walk around back, flick your lighter, and raise it in salute to Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Backdoor.
Hey, dude, can I bum one? Cool. I mean Winston.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's September 16th. We're here in the studio. Kira's looking as beautiful as ever.
Oh, thank
in
you.
Her black. It goes well with your hair. No?
Sure, Sam. You're looking, if you guys can see Sam, he's looking so dapper in his neon green top. It's very dashing. Very, very beautiful.
People seem to like it.
It's
relax.
Fun. You know why? You know why it's good? It's because it looks like, damn, he's got a sense of humor.
Yeah.
That's what people think.
Thank you.
It looks like you're
having
a good...
You want me to start criticizing what you wear?
I'm not criticizing what you're wearing. I'm just saying it's funny.
It's time you started giving me some compliments. You know, I compliment you all the time.
I don't give you compliments.
You don't give a shit. No,
I always say you're really thoughtful.
Right.
I say you're good
and
with
old
people.
And things like that.
I said one thing. It's a lack of better vocabulary, and I was just saying that in a romantic situation.
Okay.
You're not an old man.
Okay, thank you.
And,
thank
I mean, you. Old men don't wear neon green.
No?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so maybe I'm trying to look young.
No, you're young. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. You're young.
Thank you very much.
And
okay.
It's got a little,
backpedaling,
it's got a little pink horse on it. I'm a very, I actually like it. It's summer.
The polo,
it's fun. It's fun. It's summery. It's like,
yeah.
It's, you know, even though it's still not.
Listen, my wife bought it for me. I figured I better wear it.
You better wear it. No, she did a great job.
Yeah.
No, I really do like the shirt.
Yeah. I'm very just, green, neon green I'm wearing today. And
I think it's great for, it's just, yeah, it's happy. Colors are
yeah,
happy.
It's a summer color, you know?
I mean, what
the hell?
I mean, we're already into fall, but summer stays here for like,
yeah,
summer's
forever.
Here. What is it, like 9 months of summer pretty much here?
Something like that,
Pretty much. Not all year round.
Yeah.
Oh, so Sam.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm good. So why are you tired? Did you go to sleep late last night?
I've just been dragging ass lately.
Really?
People that can't tell, or maybe you can, it's been a little rough. It's a little rough. I don't know what it is. I live with 500 roommates, and so we all go to bed different times, and I'll stay up generally late. Watched some Mad Men last night.
Mm-hmm.
I sound very adult right now.
Yeah.
Had a nice Chardonnay. Watched some Mad Men.
You watched some Mad Men.
Yeah, watched some Mad Men.
Is that a good show?
It's a great show.
Yeah.
I haven't really been keeping up with this season, so I'm trying to play catch up. Great acting. Sounds like our guest has seen it, so we'll get into that in a little bit. But it's a great show. I mean, there's really nothing you can say. It does move slower.
Mm-hmm.
It's a drama, and it does move slower. But
right. It's
you gotta love it for all the different textures and the history, and then you love it for the storyline, the characters.
Yeah.
And there's some fine characters in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sounds boring to me. You know,
it's not your cup of
tea. I watch only trash like Big Brother. You know.
Yeah.
But
I don't see those two shows colliding well for you.
Yeah, but
I don't see you going down that path.
No. But Hayden won last night.
Okay.
And everybody's happy.
Really? Is that a girl or a guy?
No, that's a guy. And, very, like the American next door, boy next door type of a thing, you know?
Okay.
Like kind of like blondish hair and you know, just like all American boy.
Is that the kind that you like?
Yeah, that's my favorite kind, yeah.
Okay.
That's who I go after.
just checking, Sam.
Yeah.
I think we got some secrets.
Okay, well, it's time to wake you up a little bit. Why don't we bring in our guest? We have a wonderful guest this morning. And welcome to the show, Eyal.
Thank you very much.
Eyal Feldman, and he came all the way from New York,
yes,
right?
Yes, especially just to do the show.
Yeah,
wow.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a layover.
Yeah. Oh, really? Do you live in L.A.?
I grew up here. I live in New York City right now.
Oh, okay.
You need to get closer to the mic. Maybe if you want to pull it towards you, and then you don't have to lean in so
much. Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, we want to make sure we hear what
you
say.
That's a cool name, Eyal. How do you spell it?
E-Y. A-L.
You see, and that's an Israeli name, in case you didn't know, Kira.
I didn't know.
Okay, so now you do.
Israeli guys are cute. Eyal, you're a good-looking
man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I like the hair color.
I'm turning a little red now.
Yeah.
Oh,
you should see his body. You haven't seen his body.
I can see he's pumping some meat there. He's got that's the right term. He's got man meat. He's got arms. He's got...
Yeah.
But you're extremely tall. How tall are you?
I'm 6'7".
6'7".
Oh, my gosh. But you're not batting for my team, right?
No.
I hate that.
He's got to look down on everybody, pretty much.
Yeah, it helps in a crowded situation.
Yeah,
I've always felt like I was hard of hearing, because when you're in like a club or a bar and it's loud and the music's playing and you're all your normal size friends are around you and they're all talking, you just have to nod and just like pretend you can follow along the conversation.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. No, I thought I was deaf for a part of my life.
That's so funny.
At what age did you start growing?
This height in the 10th grade.
Really?
Yeah.
So did anybody mess with you? Nobody.
Not really. I mean, I was always generally pleasant, so I never got into like situations where...
Yeah, well, they wouldn't want to.
And I grew up in Calabasas, where they're all mostly good kids, so there were no real fights or anything like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know?
So you grew up out here in Southern California,
yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah, since the age of 3.
That's cool.
In the valley.
So Calabasas, isn't that a nice area?
It's a really
it's very nice
area.
So you were slumming it, huh?
Well, for us, it was like camping.
For those of that don't the Kardashians live in Calabasas?
They are neighbors, actually. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, tell us stories. Do you know stories?
I don't know them personally. I mean, they live in my parents' neighborhood. It's called Hidden Hills. I don't know if you know it, but it's like a little gated community to protect us from the upper middle class of Calabasas.
So they don't invade.
Because you don't know. They could just like, they're violent. They can get violent.
That's funny. That's so funny.
Yeah.
That sounds like a nice, like, what was it? Was it surreal living?
It's like ranch style living. I think the community of Hidden Hills is 1,000 or 2,000 acres, and everyone's got like a little acre, so there's like 1,000 families living there.
Mm.
And it's like Melissa Etheridge and Henry Winkler and Sinbad. Remember Sinbad?
Mm. Yeah.
Who just lost his house.
Really?
That's the sign of the economy.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
Sinbad, who hasn't worked in, what, 18 years?
Cannot
afford to keep that mansion up.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they're gorgeous homes.
Yeah.
They're ranch style, and they're like...
There's horses and the white picket fence and the whole
thing. I went to a community the other day for a premiere of this business thing. Anyway, it was in Orange County, and it was called Crosby something. Anyway, it had the same look. And this doesn't mean anything to you guys, but I'm having my Rolodex flashback.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No.
Anyway, but we're driving, and it gets more and more remote and kind of near San Diego. And it's this community that's rolling hills and all the little white pickets. I think it's the same kind of deal.
Is
that like the rich inn thing, like country thing?
The gated community, I think, like having it, a McMansion. It's like one of the, you know, the McMansion homes, the really large homes, the horses and the private lifestyle. I think that's...
Yeah, it's very exclusive, right? It's not very, like, it's not close to stuff.
I couldn't pick our neighbors out in a lineup. I mean, I saw them
that's
more on television.
That's pretty much the way it is out here.
I saw them more on television than I did in real life. And I grew up next door to, I don't know if you ever watched Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Melissa Gilbert.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so she was our next door neighbor. She was married to still is married to Bruce Boxleitner, who was in Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Right.
I'm dating myself.
Okay.
And the hit movie Tron. Remember Tron? He was in that. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was great because my older sister was a huge Little House on the Prairie fan. And living next to Melissa Gilbert, she would always like peek over the hedges.
Fascinated.
She's like, Laura's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. What a different way to kind of grow up, though, huh?
It was. But it just felt normal. It felt everything, when you grow yeah. up. When you grow up, everything's relative. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. What, wasn't she the head of SAG or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
She I was. Think SAG. Yeah.
The president of SAG or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't
she
know
was
if she
representing
still is.
Them. I don't think so anymore.
I don't know how yeah. long that you get that job for. You're yeah. elected. Is it only 1 year? I'm not sure.
Yeah. I think a few years maybe, but I think Patty Duke was the one that. Picked it up after her or something. Wow. No, before, I think.
Did you used to watch the Patty Duke show?
No, I didn't. That's way before
other
my time.
Cousins, identical cousins, and you'll find your watch that show?
I haven't, no, but no? I need to. Okay. I need to. Patty Duke, Nick at Night.
Yeah.
So what? So you grew up there and then you went to New York. How did that?
But he was born in Israel. Actually,
yeah, I was
right?
born in Israel, and my father was lucky enough to be educated in the States in the 60s.
Oh, really?
So wow. he went to middle school and high school in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and then went back to do military service uh-huh. in Israel. Met my mother. They got married.
Had
they,
you?
Yeah, they moved. They tried to come back to Chicago.
Uh-huh.
It was my mother's first time in the United States. She didn't know a lick of English.
Right.
She's never seen a black person before. She's yeah. never seen snow or the winter. Or, you know, she's just, so she hated it. She was miserable. But
yeah, cultural shock.
Yeah, it was a little cultural shock. My older sister was born here, so they didn't like it. They moved back, had me,
mm-hmm.
and then they gave it one more last go, and then they settled in L.A. permanently in 1980.
Oh, wow.
And I grew up here, and they had my little sister, so there's three of us.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you have to go to the military, too?
I did not. I went to university instead. The military became a little bit, in the 1980s, I believe, I think they became a little bit less strict.
Right.
And you can have a dispensation. Every time I go, I'd have to go to the consulate and get a release.
Right. The same
Israel.
With me, yeah.
But now I'm too old, so they don't want me anymore.
Exactly. They don't need you anymore once
they don't
you
need
reach
me anymore.
A certain age.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I went to university. I went to San Diego. I lived in San Diego. I went to UCSD.
Oh, really? Is that a good school? Because my son wants to go there.
Great, great school.
Really?
I loved it. I had the best time.
Yeah?
And I went there. I was on the swim team and played water polo, too. I didn't play water polo there, just swimming. Right. But it was, it's a great school. Beautiful, right on the beach.
Yeah.
Sunny. I mean, San Diego has better weather than L.A.
Yeah.
And L.A. has perfect weather, in my opinion.
That's true. That's true, yeah. So now, I mean, with your height and everything, I'm sure people ask you, did you consider basketball ever?
They used to take me out of second grade class and give me a basketball and make me shoot hoops.
Really?
Yeah, because I was always head and shoulders taller than the other kids. So it was really pushed upon me, basketball.
Right,
it's, like
right.
it's
not something
thing,
you were attracted
right?
to.
Yeah, but it was
naturally.
So. But it turned me off to it.
Yeah.
Because when everybody pushes something on you, you're like, you naturally rebel
right.
against it. You exactly. either embrace it or rebel against it.
Yeah.
And I chose water polo. I'm like, I'm getting in the pool.
Yeah.
That's fun. I'm getting in the pool, people. I'm getting in the pool.
Yeah.
But I mean, with the height that you have, I mean, most sports you'd excel at. I mean, maybe if you
except don't. Gymnastics, which I was never good at because those little Michelle Kwan type size people.
Yeah, that's not true. I mean, there's probably a few that wouldn't be conducive, but for the most part, like I know I was on swim team, and I know that tall people, like they've called big paddles, like flippers, and your feet, your hands.
You have a longer reach. It's all about pushing water.
Yeah.
So if your hands are bigger, if your stroke is longer, as long as you can move more water, you move your body faster.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sure.
So you've been swimming all your life.
I've been swimming since I was. I would say intensely since I was 13 or 14.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you start taking part in competitions and things like that when you were a teenager?
I just joined the swim team in high school and swam extra. You know, I would be the only one who would show up for morning practice before school started.
That's good.
But, I mean, I just loved swimming. It's great. It's great meditation. You really just zone out and you just play like back then. Your favorite CD. What are CDs?
yeah.
You know, but I was really into exercise, still am.
Yeah.
It's a very important part of my life.
Yeah. Now, Kerry, what you don't know is he's actually done like a big swim. Why don't you tell us about this? This was like a few months ago, right?
I'm going to give you a little background
first.
Because for the past 3 years, I have been doing a marathon swim every summer across a large body of water around the world. My first one was 2008, and that was I swam across the St. Lawrence River. This is the border between New York State and Canada.
Mm.
It's about 3 miles wide.
I need to wrap my brain. Hold on. The border between New York State
and Canada.
I've never been there. So
That's like near the Niagara Falls.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think it kind of spills into it towards the end.
Right.
But the St. Lawrence River is that really long river that goes from Lake Ontario and just empties out to the Atlantic Ocean.
I see.
So
okay.
It even goes, it's Montreal is built right on the St. Lawrence River. Mm. So the city, I mean, the river is huge for trade between Canada and New York.
And this is the river you swam across?
Yeah, I swam. It's a 6 mile round trip.
Wow.
And it was really cool. And what I do is I raise money for the elderly. I volunteer for organizations for the elderly when I lived here in New York, in L.A. I volunteered for the Jewish Home for the Aging right here on Tampa, I believe.
Right.
And when I moved to New York, I worked for SAGE, which is the gay elderly organization.
Oh, okay. Right.
So with them, they don't have a facility like the Jewish Home for the Aging. They actually have buildings where they live in, like dorms and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would go there. But in New York, with the gay elderly organization, SAGE, I would go to the people's to a gentleman's home who wasn't able to go out. He was like 85 years old. And I kind of brought the outside world in. I would visit with him a couple hours a week.
Right.
And, you know, it was 10 minutes from my work. So after work, I would go there. We would spend time together. We would just chat.
That's amazing.
We became he became my best friend almost.
Yeah.
You know?
So how did you get into that? I mean, what attracted you to...
Volunteering. I just wanted to start volunteering when I moved back to Los Angeles to start my company, Boy Butter, which we'll talk about later.
Right.
But when I started my company, I did it as a hobby in New York while I was working full-time there. And then when I became, you know, when I wanted to go serious, I moved back to L.A. My parents invested in the company. I moved back into the house where they lived and had an office out of my old room.
Right.
And was just slinging personal lubricant from there. But then on my spare time, I'm like, you know, I don't have a lot of you know, friends to visit or things to do, so I thought I would volunteer.
Right.
So I heard about the Jewish Home for the Aging. I went over there, I signed up to volunteer, and they let me go every Sunday, and I would wheel people from the residential area into the synagogue where they would have like entertainment, and, or they would have I would distribute cake or cookies or ice cream or whatever it is they were eating.
Yeah.
And did that for about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. It's very rewarding.
Yeah, I would suppose, yeah. But I'm too shallow for that. I wouldn't do that.
Well, I like...
That's why I admire when people do that.
I like older people. Right. And the thing with the very old is that they don't... They become lonely.
Yeah.
People, even their families don't visit them.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was taking, you know, stepping in and giving them a little, you know, social time.
Right.
Because you get lonely.
Yeah, that's really, really sweet.
So I've been focusing on that since 2006, and I wanted to combine it with my marathon swimming. So again, go back. I did the Canada swim. Last summer, I swam across the Long Island Bay from Long Island to Fire Island. I don't know if you've ever heard of Fire Island.
It's kind of
like
a
barrier island.
Okay.
So that was 3.5 miles, but it's in the open ocean water. So it was cool. And this year, I did I was a little bit more organized. I called my swim Jesus Walked, I Swam.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And why I called it that was I was going to be going to Israel for a family visit. Like, the whole family was going. It was like a big reunion.
Uh-huh.
And while I was there, I was like, you know what? I'm going to arrange to swim across the largest freshwater lake in Israel, which is the largest body of water, I believe, in Israel. No. The Dead Sea is the largest body of water, but this is the largest freshwater lake, and it's 8 miles wide by 13 miles long. So my starting point was Capernaum, which is the city where Jesus did his ministry.
Yeah, the Capernaum.
Capernaum. He did his ministry. He walked on water there.
Yeah.
And I felt, you know, with my ego as large as it is, I'm going to have to outdo Jesus. He walked on the water. I'm going to swim across. Okay? So I called it that, raise some money. I had a goal of raising $3,000, and I split it between the Jewish Home for the Aging and SAGE.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And we raised $3,500. I got press in the Jerusalem Post, which is the largest English language paper in Israel.
Nice.
And it's just... it was really, really great and rewarding. I actually showed Sam before the show a little bit of a movie clip.
And stuff, yeah.
My whole family was there with me. They were on the safety boat. So my parents, my little sister, and my brother-in-law were on the safety boat next to me. Mm-hmm. And it was just really cool, really touching.
How
really
does
fun.
That work when you're swimming that long? I mean, at what point are you like, I need a ham sandwich or something?
You don't think about that.
You had enough food and everything. You're like...
Yeah, I ate enough before, but It took me about 3 hours and 15 minutes to finish it.
That's nonstop.
It was 6 miles, so it was nonstop. I didn't stop for 1 second. So you just want it to be over.
Right.
So you're just swimming, and then you get into the zone. I would say after a half an hour, your body just is like, it feels like normal. It feels like you're just walking or just sitting.
Yeah.
You know, your body's just moving, and you're almost like outside your body. You know?
But I mean, did you Michael Phelps up on some carbs and stuff beforehand? Because
a little bit. I mean, but because I'm in training.
Yeah.
I was swimming like an hour a day nonstop.
Uh-huh.
So I was used to it.
Yeah.
And you can train your body to do pretty much anything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So
and I think with practice you really get in shape, you know,
yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
Not like a strange thing for you anymore. You feel like you belong in the water.
Yeah. I mean,
you weren't going for speed, right? You're going.
No.
Yeah.
I just wanted to finish. That's why I only arranged to do it by myself.
Uh-huh.
Not only do you get all the glory, okay, but you don't have to worry about psychologically competing with somebody else who might be faster, or you don't want to seem slower, but you know. Which I did last year. I did a group thing. That was the Long Island Bay thing, and that was. That was weird because I felt like there was 30 people. It was too many people.
Mm.
And there was a group of them that finished like in 2 seconds. And then I was just swimming out. There was a hurricane against us. And there are supposed to be people on kayaks who are next to you so you can orient yourself. So you're swimming in a straight line. Because when you're in the water, you don't know really. You have to stick your head up
to
know where you're going.
You don't know which way you're going.
So you can be going zigzagging all over the place. And all the kayakers were... Well, they finished quick because they're on boats, and they were at the party eating and drinking and having fun and dancing,
and, still
and I'm drowning in the bay.
That's hysterical, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations to that hard work and everything. That's so amazing.
It was great. Actually, I want to give a shout out to Marilyn Bloom from the Jewish Home for the Aging. I'm going there on Monday. We have a little photo op. I'm giving her all the checks, the donations on Monday.
Mm.
So that'll be really cool. So I'll send you guys emails of the photos and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah.
So that was just this summer that you did that?
That was July 15th.
So that was 8 miles that you had to swim?
I did 6 miles from the point, the Capernaum. It was kind of like I dissected the lake.
Right, okay.
And it was only 6 miles, 10 kilometers.
Wow.
Only.
Yeah, only, huh? Wow.
I can't believe it.
I couldn't swim 6 feet.
That's crazy. That's so exciting, though.
It was really fun. It was really fun. It was a life-changing
thing. That's good, yeah. I mean, it shows your endurance and, you know, and your persistence and so forth. You know, that's pretty cool.
And you do good. You know, I'd rather be involved with a donation to a charity by doing something like that and then just writing a check and making it so impersonal.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like giving...
It kind of worked for
like giving your nephew $20 for a birthday, there you go. Instead of like getting the thing he wanted, you know? It really...
Yeah.
You know, thinking about it.
Yeah, it shows that you care and stuff. I'll still take the $20, though.
Yeah, you'll take it.
I will not be offended.
You're like,
just drop it. Boom! Boom! Yeah.
So you started your own business. How old were you?
I was 24 when I started my business. It's called Boy Butter. It was Boy Butter. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and it's a funny name. And
It's a cool, memorable name.
What's the language restrictions?
You can say whatever you want.
I can say whatever I want?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm generally, I don't curse a lot, but it's a euphemism for cum.
Right. Okay.
So the straight version is baby batter.
Oh, is it? Baby batter.
I thought, what's the gay version of baby batter? It would be boy butter.
Oh, so me
and my friends would kind of say, you know, call it that.
Uh-huh.
And I, just in the back room of my work, I was working in a retail shop at the time. I turned to an employee and I'm like, you know, boy butter would be such a great name for a lube. Somebody should do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just said it then. Didn't even think about it. It was kind of like tucked
away.
Did
you think of the name before the lube?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. The concept came to me later. After September 11th in New York, I moved to Spain. I lived in Barcelona for 1 year.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I'm not coming back till I speak Spanish because everyone speaks it here.
Right.
So it was going to be very useful.
Uh-huh.
So I, as soon as I learned Spanish, I felt I could do anything.
Really?
So the idea of Boy Butter came to me in a dream, I kid you not, in September of 2002 when I was in Spain. I woke up, boom, butter tub. Boy Butter. I'm going to the logo, which as you can see in front of you, I kind of merged two existing logos, Country Croc and Arm & Hammer, and made a baby, like a hybrid.
Yeah.
So I'm borrowing from something that people are already used to seeing, but it's something new.
Yeah.
But they're accustomed. It looks like something they've grown up with.
Yeah.
I'm borrowing from 80 years of advertising. If you know Mad Men, which, I'm borrowing from 80 years of advertising.
Psychologically,
people, so automatically few people.
Well, I walked in and saw it, and I was like, "Well, is this like a treat?" I thought it is a treat.
it looks like ketchup packets or something.
I thought maybe there was it was a candy or like some kind of yum something, and then I was like, "Oh, okay."
Well, you did perk up. You did perk up when you saw it. You're like, "Ooh, what's this?"
So it comes in little packets like ketchup at McDonald's or something.
Yeah, and listen, if your listeners ever want any, go to boybutter.com.
Okay.
And just ask me, oh, can I get, I heard on Sam and Kara that I can get a free sample. Just let me know what you want. We have a couple different lines. We have the original, which is the oil-based, which is called Boy Butter. And then we have You Won't Believe It's Not Boy Butter, which is the water-based, which we invented the first water-based cream. This is the first cream that women can use vaginally and you can use with latex condoms. So we kind of modernized. We took creams from the 70s. And we modernized them, made them more accessible.
So let me ask you some questions. Okay, so I've never used lube.
Okay.
So this is what you call personal lube, right?
Personal lubricant,
okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's never been something I've ever thought about, needed.
Because most women make their own, naturally.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I have friends that use it.
But if you're a man, you don't make your own lubricant.
Oh, okay.
And if you're a Jewish male, you're circumcised, so you need lubricant a little bit more than uncircumcised men. So,
really? You see, he knows that. I wouldn't know that.
Yeah, he knows his lube, man.
Yeah. Oh no, I know my market.
He knows his penises too.
what is the purpose of? Okay, so if you have a latex condom, you can't use what? You can't use.
You don't want to use oil on latex.
Why?
Because latex is it's plant and it breaks down in oil. So it will break down. That's why you have to use water-based, like KY or wet or you won't believe it's not boy butter.
Right. Yeah.
Water-based things work on latex. Oil will break down latex.
Okay.
That's the reason.
Really?
I didn't know any of that stuff.
You use I always tell people, with the oil, use this by yourself or with a trusted partner.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. With the water-based, you can do pretty much anything. You can for the original, the oil-based one, you can masturbate. You can do this. You can do that. You can do anything you want, from sex to by yourself or whatever.
Right.
And everything in between.
Okay.
And the water-based one is just we needed to make one that was latex safe.
Right. Okay.
Just naturally, because you don't want to keep those people out.
Right.
Most people don't use condoms because they're either coupled in relationships or they're married, but there's a large minority of people who do
And
who practice safe sex, and you have to watch out for them, and they're always asking for stuff,
And
they're a little bit more sexually adventurous, or they're more they have got more of a sex life going, so they're using more lube. So condoms and water-based lubricants are very important.
Right. So now, how did the idea come to you that that this is something that the market would want?
Well, I initially wanted to have my own business. I didn't know how to go about it, how it was going to happen. I worked for a company called Nasty Pig, in New York City.
Gosh,
they were called Nasty Pig, and they made street clothes, and they made a line for fetish clothes made of synthetic machine washable rubber that was backed with fabric, and you could wear it as like a leather alternative, so like leather pants or a shirt, whatever.
Oh, okay.
But you can wash it, which was really cool. You couldn't do, and it was like a quarter the cost of leather. So it was a really great idea. It was these two this gay couple that started in 1994, 1996, and they were able to have their own business. And, you know, like my father, I thought that was really cool, and I wanted to apprentice with them.
Right.
And learn about the business. So they do a couple trade shows a year, which are a little fetish oriented. So there would be people who would buy fetish clothes, fetish gear, personal lubricants, pornography, things like that. It would be like the AVN show, if you've ever heard of the AVN show in Las Vegas.
Right.
You know, it's like the adult video news.
Novelties.
Convention, like conventions, any sex or fetish oriented convention. So I already had a background in that with the store. So when the name of Boy Butter and the concept came to me, I really didn't have to go very far to, I knew the trade show I could go to, buy a booth, set up a booth, wear nothing but Speedos, and sneakers and sell my boy butter, and I would turn myself into the Suzanne Summer with my own thigh master.
Well, I mean, there you go. I mean, you're so freaking tall, too. I bet that's just
I sold out. Sold out.
I bet.
I just was in Berlin last week and did a street show there. Sold out.
Then oh, really?
Germany's a very huge market for us.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you think so?
Well, first of all, they have a lot of sex, and they're the biggest market in Europe.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of sex.
They do like a lot of sex in Germany, yeah. Mm.
Yes, they do. And they're very freaky. They're really freaky over there.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
A lot freakier than Americans are.
Yeah, they have
I've heard that the Japanese...
The Japanese are really kinky.
Like, they're very... It's a very clean environment. It looks very aesthetically pleasing, but then there's, like, this whole backdrop of, like, crazy sex. I think it's a repression thing.
Yeah, the more structured you are in public, the more freaky you are.
I think it is, too.
Behind closed doors.
Yeah, so you guys know I'm probably boring. I'm just like... I don't have any tricks in my sleep. But no, you know, when you're extrovert or whatever, I don't have any crazy hidden weird demons I need to get out.
No.
Okay, you ready for this shit? It's been a hard day at the office. Woo, I got my chandelier, you know?
I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah,
and then start beating somebody with it.
Yeah, everything's pretty basic.
Yeah, and I'm pretty basic too, but I came up with this concept, and I have no problem if somebody wants to do whatever they want to do with their body, however they want to do it, I want to celebrate it. But the concept was good. I plugged into what I already knew, and it worked out. And it's like almost 8 years later, and we're in drugstore.com, my biggest customers, Amazon.com. We're on Walgreens. We're in hundreds of Walgreens all over the country. Boy Butter.
Wow.
So
I think that the business side is really, really fascinating too. How it, you know.
Yeah, and you learn a lot. I had to kind of reinvent the wheel a lot of times, but I had my father, I had my old boss from Nasty Pig, and they were really great advisors.
Oh, okay.
And they really helped me to avoid mistakes.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're just so stubborn, you got to make them.
Yeah.
You got
to make them yourself. Yeah.
What does your father do?
He actually owns a company several blocks away in Van Nuys called Capital Arts and Frames. He makes custom picture frames and moldings.
Oh, okay.
He's like probably one of 7 or 8 companies left in the country that do what he
does.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like museum, hotel quality. Like, he did most of the hotels and resorts in Las Vegas.
Really?
Or those big ones in Asia, you know, the just Chinese casinos that they have.
Right.
You know,
wow.
Like those types of places. Or he has like big, like stars who come to him. But he does he does really great work. He's got wood carvers and gold leaf, and they do all like museum. Like, you go to a museum and you're more impressed by the frame than the picture.
Right.
He does that kind of frame.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So you're a gay man, right?
Yes, sir.
At what point did you discover that you're gay?
I discovered it when I was second grade.
Really?
Yeah, because when you're
in elementary school... So that was your first interest in sex, right? You were never attracted
to sex, girls? Not sex. You're attracted to.
It
wasn't...
people.
It might have been sexual, but it wasn't sexual like, you know, with a personal lubricant.
Right.
It was, you know what you're attracted to. You tease... little, you know, other boys instead of little girls.
Oh, I see.
You know,
wow.
You know, yeah. How you probably pulled the hair of a girl you liked.
Yeah.
But you'd see somebody that you like, and they kind of, you know, they it turns you on.
Right.
So I knew that it was men or guys that did that to me.
Right.
And I came out of the closet when I was 16.
16? Wow.
Yeah, but as I told you before, I was the biggest kid in high school, so I didn't really have to fear for anything, and I was pretty much a jock, so I was on the swim team, water polo team.
Right.
So I didn't really, and I only told people I knew who could handle it, because there's a lot of immature people.
Right.
And when you're in public school, you're forced to be around people that are not necessarily the most mature, and you have to see them every day in, day out.
Right.
So you have to pick the right time and place and person to tell. And as you get older and more an adult, you just lead a more open life. You know, you're more independent.
What about your family? How are they with everything?
Absolutely wonderful.
Oh, okay.
Really?
I came out to my parents first.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And it was, you know, I'm going to West Hollywood. You know, that's not what, you know, your dad wants to hear. But, you know, it happened. You know, that's what it was. It was difficult at first for like maybe a day. It was weird. And I would say it was just really awkward being sexualized around your parents.
Right, yeah. As it is, even when you're not gay, it's just really hard
when you're
to
not
talk
gay,
about it.
Yeah, but when you are gay, it's even more so, because that's all you think imagine. They think about you.
Uh-huh.
That you're either like, you get embarrassed. You're like, right. Does this person think that I'm gross? Or, you know, you don't want to think that.
Right.
But it becomes awkward.
Yeah.
But you, if you can't tell your family, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And if they love you, they accept you.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they've been really supportive of you.
They're so supportive.
They love you.
They not only support me as a person, they support my business, they believe in it. But, you know, if you put enough hard work, you know, you can win pretty much anybody over.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And wow. It's family first with our family. And a lot of Israeli families are very tight. So we're very, very close.
Was that a factor at all with being, you know, coming out of the closet and being, I don't know if the culture of Israel.
Yeah, they're pretty conservative when it comes to that.
They're pretty conservative, but when I never heard anything anti-gay growing up. Really, nothing out of the ordinary. It wasn't really I wouldn't say like I was like a Southern Baptist where we didn't have hell. It wasn't like you're going to hell.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have that. Jews don't really believe you're either going to heaven or you have to come back here. Hell is earth. You have to come back and live your life again on earth.
Right.
So, I didn't have fire and brimstone type of fear. It was more of a just being, again, awkward talking about sex in front of people. You don't really want to share your private life.
Right, but exactly.
When you're gay, it's a label. It's like a big label. And
that's
then
true.
And it's a sexual label. And then you have to deal with people's comfort level, their own comfort level, with sex, period.
I see.
Because that's what they automatically think of is the sex.
Wow, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. No, it's true, though. You know, I mean, when it's men and women, you know, you don't think about them like in a sexual way for the most
part. That's heterosexual, you don't strictly
you don't say heterosexual.
Exactly.
Unless you're even talking about gays, you're like, oh, heterosexuals.
Yeah, you don't go straight or whatever and then think about a sexual act. You just it doesn't even go there.
Yeah. But I experimented with heterosexuality in college.
How did it go? Let me know when you want to experiment again.
Don't forget the big boy butter with you.
I have my own built-in boy butter,
we're gonna have to have a little Chardonnay. Watch Mad Men.
Little Charlotte. Anyway,
you'd be
women?
Safe with him, right? Because he wouldn't hit on you.
I don't think that's what she wants, though.
No, that's call a friend. No, I just love tall men. I mean, tall men. Come on now. I mean, tall men.
Yeah.
Not like any.
What do you want to say about them?
No, they're just really attractive. I mean, even if it's just a friend, it's I'm sure you can recognize a good-looking woman, even if you're not
injured. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like a man. You're like, whoa, good-looking man there.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, back to the...
I'm not going to ask you if it's hard for you to find a woman far as your height and stuff, but what about guys in that?
I don't want to say married, but I have a long-term relationship, monogamous, wonderful long-term relationship with a guy named Brendan, and we've been together for... It's going to be 6 years in April.
Wow.
So, you know, we've got the apartment in New York. We've got the two cats. You know, we're thinking about kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. You're going through the motions.
You gotta go. You grow up and you get married, no matter what.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Whether
yeah.
it's a guy or a girl.
Yeah. So 6 years is a long time. I know many gay.
In gay years, it's like 20 years.
Really?
Yeah.
But I know that there's some gay men that really stay in a relationship for a long time, right?
There are, but it's more common.
Right.
For women to be the ones who want to be in a relationship. And
that's true.
So when it's two men, it can be a little flighty sometimes.
I see. Okay.
And but you can do it if you really want it.
Right.
You know, and it's work, just like anything.
Yeah.
But that's why if you look at the difference between, you know, gay men and lesbians, you find that women tend to rush into and stay in, they're like serial monogamous. They like rush into relationships and they want to move in.
I know, like they joke about them, bringing the U-Haul to the first date or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Basically, I'd like to think it's a stereotype, but they are quick to marry, you know?
Yeah.
Think of Melissa Etheridge.
So now what made you decide to move to New York after you grew up here?
Well, I've always had a New York mentality. Even growing up here, I've always been go, 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 go.
Really?
And here in the West Coast, it's a little bit more laid back.
Right.
There's a little bit more time to enjoy, you know, the sunshine and traffic or whatever you're doing. But I, for what I wanted to do and for the energy level that I had, New York was the
LA was too slow for you.
LA, and if you think LA is slow. You should go to Europe.
Really?
Europe is going backwards.
Really?
I mean, they're so slow. I mean, they don't work. They spend more time at lunch than they do in the office. Especially in Spain. They're like, 3-hour lunch. Yeah. Where are we going to go?
Oh, yeah.
If they work. Good, yeah. I knew more people who did not have jobs than did. Or were suing their former employers that they worked for maybe 1 year for 5 years of, you know, they just pay you, like, unemployment.
Yeah.
That's just...
It's weird
that's
there.
That's bullshit.
I mean,
sorry.
L.A. is New York compared to Spain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, L.A. is New York, not New York, but it's much faster compared to most places.
It's the New York of the West Coast.
Yeah. Or would you say San Francisco is or no?
No, no.
No.
San Francisco is tiny.
Well, no, tiny, but I mean as far as pace.
No. Pace is, I would say it's as slow as here.
Yeah.
As slower, probably slower. L.A.
Well,
has more.
I mean, I think New York's
pace.
Its own. I mean, what do you compare New York to? Maybe Tokyo or something like that?
I've never been to Tokyo, but I heard, that, I mean, there's people, it looks like there's people going places when you see the pictures, you know, on TV.
Yeah, like routes.
They're going to work, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
But New York is very go-go. It's a rat race.
Right.
I'd like to come back here. Place. I always think about coming back. My mom constantly asks me to come back to L.A.
Right.
You know, not only to be close to the family, but the weather here is amazing. It really, you guys are so lucky. You need to wake up every morning and thank the Lord that you're not in New York in the winter because it's like 7 months long.
Yeah.
And that's short.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's really long and horrible and it's hard to get used to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But the life there is really makes it worth it, you know? I mean, I know every time I go there, LA seems like a cemetery to me, you know, as far as the pace we were talking about. So.
I think, though, that I mean, I've never been to New York. I know I'm like subhuman, but anyway, I think that LA, there's pockets that are really like congested and packed, and it has that feeling of like, you know, you tell somebody, oh, I'll be right back. No, you'll be back in 2 hours. You don't just be right back anywhere. You know, it's like you get sucked into the traffic. You took a wrong turn and you're done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or everything's so much
moving
more.
Around in New York is different than moving around in LA.
Right.
Yeah, well,
it's a lot harder to here. There's the great distances, and you have. Traffic to deal with.
Right. And
I mean, you
only
can
cars,
be right back no if problem. It's after 7:30 p.m.
Yeah, maybe.
Or after 10:30 a.m. right now.
Well, like, I was coming back from what it was a South Bay one night, and it's like, you know, 11, it's like, I think, 1 in the morning, and all
like,
of a sudden...
Wow, it's really fast.
Yeah, well, then I'm like, oh, wow, there's a traffic jam. Why? And it's the Hollywood Boulevard, which is right near my exit, so it's like this huge backed up, and you're like, it's 1 a.m., people, and it's not going, it's coming too, you know? So it's like... It is kind of a weird, I think.
Yeah, and we have no public transportation here. Yeah.
They have like suggestions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's almost like they have got a kind of a subway system that connects some people.
Yeah.
And then
taking a bus is like embarrassing in LA, you know? Nobody takes a bus.
It's just hard.
Yeah.
Because you need a ride to the bus stop.
Right.
You can't just walk to the bus stop.
I know, right?
You know, you're like, could somebody give me a ride to the bus stop? It's almost, you know, it's hard to even get to the public transportation.
Right. Mm. Yeah, wow. So, okay, so as far as your market, I mean, have you figured out if it's more guys that use it?
It is
women?
More, it's a little bit more men, but it's almost 50-50. I have about 40-45% are
so
women.
So when you have, like, your advertising and marketing, who do you target it at?
I have recently, well, in the beginning, I put all my money in gay advertising.
Right.
Because they were the ones who were having the most sex and using the most
lubricant
because they're men.
Right.
They're not women. There's no women who make their own personal lubricant involved.
Right.
So you go with the people who use the most.
Right.
And then I was hoping for the trickle-down effect, which did happen.
Uh-huh.
And as I was telling Kara earlier, a gay man's best friend is usually a female. Mm-hmm. So I found that it jumped from one demographic to the next by word of mouth. So it was something that was cute and fun for a gay guy, and then it became cute and fun for his girlfriend, and she would bring it home and use it with her man.
Right.
And we got into, I mean, I would probably say there's more straight people probably using, straight couples using
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Because it's a good product. A good product is a good product.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
we come back for more. And does it have any flavor or anything?
I try to steer away from flavors and odors. Our original has no smell, no taste.
Right.
And everything washes off with water. It'll last as long as you need, and it washes off with water off of you and your sheets.
Really?
So our
even the oil-based one?
Even the oil-based is water-soluble. Our water-based one has a very, very subtle vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
We have a desensitizing called Extreme.
Yeah.
And that has a little benzocaine in it. And that's also separate into oil and water.
So that makes you last longer or something?
It can make you last longer or it can make penetration more comfortable.
I see.
So
okay.
if it hurts to be penetrated,
right.
whether by a finger or a penis or a dildo or whatever,
right.
it makes it more comfortable. So, and that is my number one product.
Wait a second.
It's a desensitizing lubricant.
So wait a second. People get by lubricants to not feel as much?
Yeah.
But why? Why?
Because what if it hurts? Or what if you want? What if you're the type of person that just wants to experiment and go beyond, you know? Or it just hurts to be penetrated? Then it can really help both those people.
Okay. Yeah.
Experimental plus, people and people who just want a little more comfort.
Yeah. Plus, you know, it keeps you like you don't orgasm as fast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it will numb the penis,
right,
as
exactly.
well as the other places that you put it on.
Yeah.
So you have to factor that in. It's not my favorite formula, but right. it has really found a place in right. the market because a lot of people don't really do that or think about that.
And so is it like for, like, let's say, you know, taking away the extremism for a second, just so I understand okay. this. So let's say a dude is not used to on that area, right?
Okay.
So he's like, lubes it up, and he's like, this will help break it in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, in that scenario, yes.
In that scenario, okay.
In that scenario, yes. Or let's say a girl
uh-huh.
who's with her husband,
uh-huh.
and it's always uncomfortable for her, or she wants to try
she
going anal, or she wants to go anal. Maybe she wants to do anal for the first time.
Right.
Oh, okay.
This will really help. It doesn't deaden it totally, but it just kind of makes it more comfortable, and it really depends on how much you put, and if it feels a little too numb.
Yeah.
You know, you wipe it off, and the feeling returns within 60 seconds. So, you know, when you're by yourself or with your partner and you're experimenting, you have the time to kind of figure out how much to use and what's good. And
yeah, I just think that pain factor, I'm like, maybe that's a signal. Like, hey.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Relax. Like, I mean, I'm thinking even as a female, if something's hurting, I think you should go to the gynecologist.
Absolutely. I always tell people that you have to be personally responsible. You have to have personal responsibility. And if something hurts, you know, you have to listen to your body.
Mm.
But there's people who know their body really well.
Right.
And they want to go a little bit further than they could normally.
And they enjoy the pain sometimes.
Or maybe they come too quickly.
Right.
And they want to slow it down a bit and enjoy things.
Yeah.
Is that hard for guys to not?
Some
it's
guys,
very personal.
There's so many. It's such a... The more I'm in this business and the more I'm around people and talk to people, there's such a wide array
so
of
broad,
issues.
Right?
And problems or, you know, just there's sex is huge. It's like such a.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Well, it's part of our lives. Yeah.
I bet, too, like when you're in this industry, you probably have a lot of people open up to you stuff that probably is.
Oh, yeah.
So far above and beyond what you're even doing. They're like, yeah, and Jimmy the other day, this and that. They're probably.
Oh, they love. People love telling me like their private lives, especially when I'm, you know, they've never met me. They come, let's say I have a booth like in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come, they'll tell me like a story of why they use my product, or they love my product and this is like one of these great times I used it. Or would this help if I do this and that and the other?
Yeah.
You know?
And you just find yourself like probably.
You
being
just smile and you're like, sure, that'll be 20 euros.
Yeah.
So how did you go about developing this? I mean, all the chemical part of it.
It already, the original formula for boy butter already existed. I just private labeled it.
I
knew the company that made it was actually a product called Shaft, which is still in existence today.
Really?
And it's just, it was packaged poorly. It was in a straight white jar, the kind of jar you'd find in your dad's toolbox filled with nails.
Really?
It was an ugly jar.
Yeah.
Okay, and it was a bad name, Shaft.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking like the Black Panther is going to come in. You know? And but I knew the company. They were the company that made Shaft. Was my biggest account when I worked for Nasty Pig. So it just, everything really came
together.
Confluence.
Yeah. Right.
I think they call it a confluence.
Uh-huh.
So I approached them with the idea, I have this great concept, boy butter. I'm going to give you guys an empty tub. You fill it, you box it, you warehouse it. They were in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to sell it from my apartment in New York.
Oh, okay.
So I went door to door in New York and started there and went to all the like the adult stores in the gay areas, like in Chelsea and in West Village and the East Village and places like that, and got it there first, and then just called gay neighborhoods in other cities that I already knew because I was doing business with them through Nasty Pig. So it was just really easy to kind of get them.
Yeah, so you didn't have to develop the
hard part
the whole
was
thing.
To get to resell.
Right.
You know, selling something is not hard. Getting people to reorder it,
right.
that is the trick.
Right.
Because that means then you have, you know, a pattern going. And
right,
then you have
exactly.
a real business.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's cool, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know?
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
You've had it for 6 years, you said, right?
It's going to be 8
Oh,
years.
8 years.
Yeah,
wow.
In May, Memorial Day weekend.
It's amazing, man.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you. Everybody go and get Boy Butter. What's the website?
Yeah, you go to boybutter.com, okay. and that's our information page. If you want to purchase, you can go to shoplube.com. That's shoplube.com. Uh-huh. And if you want a coupon code, just put in butter. It never expires. Butter, like, you know, the Boy Butter.
Right.
And you get 10% off, and we ship anywhere on the world within a day. So we get your order, and you'll get it in a couple days.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. Well, I don't need any of you right now. I mean, but...
take home. I'm sure you have friends who
yeah,
like it.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, you know, my wife's going to get older, so...
It's a great, it's a great leather treatment.
You know, I guess
that's
everybody's going to need it once.
You should never say that.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you, older women and men have very similar needs because older
yeah.
women aren't able
don't lubricate
to
as
lubricate
much, yeah.
themselves as easily or as much as they used to.
Right.
So this one
except
is
when I'm in bed with them, then they always lubricate.
Oh, of course.
It doesn't matter how
the
old
river
they
flows,
are.
I'm
yeah,
sure.
There you go. Okay, well, Eyal Feldman, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Do you want people to find you? Facebook, anything
Facebook
like that?
Facebook me. Facebook, yeah. my name, Eyal Feldman, or Boy Butter. You'll find it. You'll find me easily.
Sounds good.
I'm the first thing to pop up.
Well, thank you for taking the time, man, and all the best to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
and if you guys ever want me back, I come here all the time. I'll email you guys.
Oh, please do, yeah.
Of
yeah.
course, for posted. Sure, for sure.
And I can talk about more than personal lubricants.
I'm sure you can.
I bet you can.
Well, you have already. We talked about swimming, too.
Well,
so.
My roommate's getting this.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Like she wants everybody to know.
Well, you don't know which one. And
you have hundreds of roommates from what I hear.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be hard to figure it out.
It's just hilarious.
I used to go in a room and there'd be like a big bottle of like KY hanging out. And
really?
I remember I knocked it over and I was like, because you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
I know. Now, everything that has to do with sex, she's like, okay.
Okay.
Anything.
No, it's when you're knocking over someone else's lube and it's open and it might be a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That
yeah.
you made the sound too. Because yeah. you're kind of like, you don't want to touch someone else's bottle.
Yeah, and then you have to kind of like shove the orgy out of the way.
Yeah.
Like,
But this
yeah.
is cool because it comes in little packets so you don't have to deal with the bottle and stuff. All
well,
these
are the sample packets, right?
Those are the yeah. sample packets. We have butter tubs. We've got squeeze bottles. We've got pumps.
Okay.
So we have a bunch. Just go to butter. And we've got the original, we've got the water-based, the desensitizing mm-hmm. in oil and water. We've got a warming, and have a new one coming out at the end of this, at the end of the fall, called Boy Butter Fresca. Okay, mm-hmm. and I hope to get sued by the soda company. I
okay,
really do because I like the press.
Yeah, there
and
you
it'll
go.
And it'll be like a little cooling lubricant. It'll be real. I believe it's my best formula.
Sounds good.
It'll make,
okay, well we got to wrap up,
fresh.
Folks.
Awesome.
Yeah, he could talk about Boy Butter till he's blue in the face, but we've got to wrap up. Kira, thank you so much.
Okay, Sam.
Thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.